I love comebacks. When a team is down late in the game and they begin to rally and they're able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, nothing is better in all of sports. As long as it's your team that comes back. Like, 2 months ago when Alabama defeated Georgia in the college football national championship. Actually, I am still in shock from that win. I mean, when they threw that touchdown pass in overtime to win, I just looked over at Cheryl and my jaw dropped, and it's been dropped ever since. It's a shock, but it's a really, really good kind of shock. Now, I've seen some other great comebacks. 1993, National Football League. Buffalo is playing Houston. They're in the playoffs. They're trying to get to the Super Bowl. Buffalo is down 32 points. And they come back and they win in overtime. If you go to Wikipedia and type in the comeback American football, the description of this game comes up. 1993, Buffalo and Houston. In football, a comeback not only involves a battle against the opponent, it also involves a battle against the clock. Some comeback efforts are stopped short because time just runs out. For that reason, baseball, it's just around the corner. They're playing spring training right now. Baseball has the advantage in the comeback department because there is no clock. You can never get too far behind in baseball to win as long as you just have one more at bat coming up. In August 2001, the Cleveland Indians were losing 14-2 to the Seattle Mariners. Coming back from a 12-run deficit is almost completely unheard of. But Cleveland did it that day. They even scored 5 runs with 2 out in the bottom of the ninth to win the game. That's where football and baseball are different. At some point in each football game, there comes a time when your lead is big enough and there's just a little bit of time left on the clock. You can sort of kick back and run out the clock. They'll even, instead of running a play, they'll just take a knee when there's a minute or so left to play. In baseball, you can't coast out a win. In baseball, no lead is safe. In baseball, no loss is certain until that final out. And in that sense, baseball is just like life. Now, we're in the second of 3 weeks we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 18. And last week, we talked about how life is not a series of random events. There is a potter at the wheel. It is God. And he can redesign, he can redeem any mess that we get into and turn it into a masterpiece. This week, we're going to look a little deeper into the story, and we'll look at the importance of playing till the final out. So let's begin by reading the text. Jeremiah 18, beginning in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Now, these verses show the importance of playing to the final out. There are three messages basically in these verses I want us to see, I want us to get today. First of all, it's never too late to turn things around. It's never too late to turn things around. Verses 7 and 8 say, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. For years, I have, and you probably have too, we've heard preachers preaching God's judgment on America like it's a done deal. But you know, it's not. What's worse, I've heard people condemn certain individuals as if God's judgment on them was a done deal. But it's not. No matter how bad of a sinner that sinner may be, God's judgment on them is not a done deal. Not yet. Not yet. Even worse, I've heard people assume condemnation on themselves as if God's judgment against them is a done deal. They'll say, well, I committed this sin, and God's going to get even with me. God's going to come after me. Or they'll say, you know, I came to know Christ. I came into a relationship with Christ. And then I really got off track, started living the wrong way. And there's no point in me trying to go back now. It's too late. I'm here to tell you it's not too late. You can turn things around. A good example of this is found in the Bible. In the story of Jonah, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Nineveh was a terrible place, doing all sorts of things. And God sent him, and he went and he preached, and he said, in 40 days, God's judgment is coming on this city. Well, what happened? Well, the people of Nineveh repented. God relented. There was no judgment. This works for nations. It works for cities. It works for individuals. If you will turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, you can change the course of your life. You can change the outcome of your life. Ray Lewis was one of the greatest defensive players in NFL history. He was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens in 1996. Over his career, he went to 13 Pro Bowls, which meant he was one of the best players in the league. He was the defensive player of the league in the year 2000 and 2003. But his path was not easy. In January 2000, he was involved in a fight that led to two deaths. He was fined by the NFL $250,000. Because he was convicted of a misdemeanor of obstruction of justice. 6 years later, he gave an interview, very extensive interview, to Sports Illustrated, in which he talked about his life. He talked about his faith. He had come to know Jesus Christ, and he'd made that very public. And he would speak often about how amazing God is and the second chance he received through Jesus Christ. John Harbaugh was Lewis's coach for a number of years. And this is what he said about Lewis. I'm just feeling an incredible amount of awe in the work that God can do in one man's life. To me, Ray is the epitome of that. Ray is a guy that has turned everything over. He surrendered everything and become the man that he is today. And he's a different man than he was at the age of 22. Everybody sees that right now. It's a great thing for kids to see. It's a great thing for fathers to see. It's a great thing for athletes to see. It's a very special deal. If you've ever thought, it's too late for me. I've had this habit too long. I've been this way all my life. I've just never succeeded in working through this area of my life. I've failed again and again and again. It's just too late for me. I want you to know it's not too late. Now, actually, there's a test you can perform to determine if it's too late for you, and it's very, very simple. Take a couple of fingers, put them on your wrist, and if you feel anything like a pulse, then you qualify. It is not too late for you. It is not too late. It's not too late for you to turn things around and to allow God to turn things around in your life. Your future is written in clay. not in stone. There's still time to change the direction of your life. That's the first message I want us to look at from Jeremiah 18. It's never too late to turn things around. Second message we get from this is it's never too late to mess things up. It's never too late to mess things up. Verses 9 and 10. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. How's that for good news? I mean, this is really a sobering thought, and it's one that we cannot afford to forget. Every great comeback story in every sporting competition has something in common. On the flip side of the team that came back to win, there's a team that blew a lead, sometimes a very big lead. 2008, in the Super Bowl, New England Patriots, they had not lost a game all year. They won every regular season game. They won everything through the playoffs. That's how they got to the Super Bowl. And they could be the second team in NFL history to go completely undefeated. And they're going in against the New York Giants. They're favored by 2 touchdowns, 14 points. They'll win this pretty easily. Giants have got this quarterback. He's an underachiever named Eli Manning. But he put together a winning drive for the New York Giants. The Patriots came within 30 seconds of a perfect season, but they let it slip through their fingers. The sobering truth of Jeremiah 18 is that you will never reach the place where you've arrived. You can never coast your way to victory. If we're not careful, we can give in to the Titanic myth and think, well, you know, I'm too big to fail. I'm unsinkable. I've been following Christ this many years. I've done this and I've done that. Look, this is what I've done in my Christian life. We can think we're unsinkable, that we're somehow too big to fail. The Titanic was touted as being unsinkable. The line you may remember from the movie is, God himself could not sink this ship, which history tells us was actually spoken by an employee of the White Star Company. The White Star Line was the shipping company that built the Titanic and was sailing the Titanic. It turns out God did not sink the Titanic. It only took an iceberg. And the great mistake was White Star, that company's irresponsibility and their recklessness. The sobering truth is none of us are too big to fail. Recent years, we've seen this in some companies, big businesses around the country. They don't exist anymore. A lot of big companies are gone. They failed and disappeared. We never get to the point where we can coast out a win. And the sad thing is, you see this not just in businesses, not in sporting teams. You see it in individual lives too often. On November 1st, 2011, Joe Paterno was one of the most revered, respected coaches in college football. He was a father figure to who knows how many people out there. Before that month was over, he was fired and he was in disgrace. A legacy, I mean a very solid legacy that seemed unsinkable, had been destroyed. He'd been the coach there at Penn State University for 46 years. He'd won a couple of national championships. He was renowned, well known for his honesty, for his integrity in the way that he taught, in the way that he coached. And then this scandal came out about a former defensive coordinator, an assistant coach, sexual abuse scandal, things that Paterno knew that he didn't let anybody know about or that he didn't deal with. It was a horrible way for Paterno's coaching career to end. Terrible stain on his legacy. He was not too big to fail. It happens in people's lives. It happens in marriages. They reach a point where they say, well, you know, we're unsinkable. We've been married X number of years. Things are going great. But the truth is, you're sinkable. I'm sinkable. We are all sinkable. It can happen to any of us. That's why Paul said, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. He's reminding us, it's never too late to mess things up. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to scare you. But I'm just saying we need to be careful. Just like I tell you, you get in your car to go somewhere, you ought to fasten your seatbelt. You get ready to go out the door to go somewhere, you ought to lock your doors. You ought to look both ways before you cross the street. But I would tell you, be careful how you live your life. Don't try to coast. Take a close look at who you are today, what you're doing today, how you're living today, and ask yourself, where is this road leading me? The road I'm on right now, where is this road leading me? Where will it take me? Third message we get from Jeremiah 18 is, it's never too late to take responsibility for your life. That's really what it comes down to. Be willing to take ownership of where you've been, repenting of that if you need to. Take ownership of where you are today and where you're headed. Who are you following? Who's molding you? Who's making you? Who's shaping you? It's what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. The book of Jeremiah is basically a call to the nation of Judah to repent, because they've fallen into sinful, idolatrous behavior. The nation was headed in the wrong direction. They were headed toward certain destruction. And the tendency when this happens is to say, you know what? Things are not the way they ought to be. Somebody ought to do something about it. And when we say that, we mean everybody else ought to do something about it. Anybody else but me ought to do something about it. There's an episode from the Andy Griffith Show. I had to look this up the other day. First 5 years of those, I can probably walk you through the script of most of those shows. I've seen them so many times. But if you don't know the show, Andy Griffith plays Andy Taylor. Andy is the sheriff of Mayberry. He's out of town in this episode, and his deputy, Barney Fife, is in charge. And he has deputized the local mechanic, Gomer Pyle, to help him while Andy's out of town. And they're walking down the street one evening, and they notice that someone apparently is trying to break into the bank, and they hide behind a car, and they're afraid. They don't know what to do. And finally, Gomer looks at Barney and says, "Shazam, we need to call the police." And Barney, in utter exasperation, says, "We are the police. We are responsible. We are responsible." Earlier I mentioned there's some preachers preaching about God's impending judgment on America. They say, America needs to do this. America needs to do that. As if America is one big decision-making unit, and we are not. You cannot decide what America is going to do. You can't even decide what your neighbor is going to do. You can only decide what you are going to do. And you will be held accountable for what you do, individually, for what you do. This is what God said in verse 11. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and actions. So he's not just speaking to the whole group. He's speaking to each individual. He's saying, you take responsibility for you. You take responsibility for your life, for what you do. Instead of seeking comfort in the idea that, well, you know, I will do right when everybody else does right. No, we need to say, and we need to be willing, every individual among us, to take a stand and say, I will do right no matter what anybody else does. I take responsibility for me. I will surrender to Jesus Christ. I will let God mold me and make me. I will surrender to Him. A number of years ago, almost 11 years ago, I was in the hospital. I was going to be having some rather serious surgery. Our son James was about 10 and a half then, and he was in the room, and we're talking about the surgery. And he looked at me and said, "Could you die?" So I thought about that for a second, and I told him what the surgeon had said to me. I said, the doctor said there's about a 10% chance of something like that happening. He thought about that for a few seconds, and he said, is that 10 out of 100? I said, yeah, 10 out of 100. He said, oh, okay. See, the odds were pretty good. This was an excellent surgeon that I had. He'd done this before. He knows his way around the body when it comes to this type of surgery. And I was glad to put myself and my future in his hands. See, God created us. He knows us. He knows his way around our hearts, our souls, our lives. If we surrender to him and his desire for us, there's not even a 10% chance that he's going to mess something up. God always gets it right. We should place our lives and our futures in his hands. Jeremiah is saying, we're like clay in the hands of the potter. He's also saying, the future is like clay in your hands. You've got to say, in the direction your life takes, who is forming you? Who is influencing you? Who is changing you? Who is molding you? Who is making you? Your future is written in clay, not stone. Just like in baseball, no lead is safe, no loss is certain. You have to play till the final out. It's not too late to win. It's not too late to lose. And it's not too late to get in the game. That's the message of Jeremiah 18. You will never get to the point where what you do does not matter. Now, some people hear those words and they feel threatened by those. I hear those words as a promise. Every day is important. Every day you can move in the direction of becoming more like Jesus Christ, becoming more the person that God created you to be, moving more in the direction of God's blessing. Every day you can take steps to undo the mistakes of the past. I mean, there are consequences you've got to live with, but you can repent and you can move on to a different future. Every day you can give greater control of your life to Jesus Christ and see more of the glory of God. Surrender to God today. We surrender to him not so that he will love us, but because he already does. Let him mold you. Let him make you and shape you into the person he created you to be. It's not too late. Play till the final out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible patience and mercy with us. You are so patient, waiting for us to come to you. If we'll just take that one step in the direction that you will enable us to take, you'll come 100 miles to us. You'll come the rest of the way, like the Father to the prodigal son. Father, help us to come to you now and surrender. Help us to come to you now, allowing you to take our lives, our hearts, our souls, and mold us and make us and shape us into the people you want us to be. Show us, Father, the step we need to take. What we need to begin to do, what we need to stop doing, things we need to leave behind, the things that we need to start moving toward. Reveal those to us and give us the courage to do what you've called us to do, to be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.